What is up, everybody? You are now listening in to the Truth Paste Podcast. I am your host, still Joe Jesse, and welcome back to me. Yeah, I've taken a little bit of a break for a number of reasons. I'll actually talk a little bit about that in today's topic of depression. I came across this really cool article about depression in Black boys and how it begins earlier than most people think. And it really got me thinking about my own situation and thought, well, I've got a platform, I've got a podcast. I can share this information and maybe it'll be insightful for somebody else. On top of that, we're still going to have a little bit of fun. I found this ridiculous story about drugs trying to be smuggled in the strangest of ways. We'll get into that. But, for those of you who are listening and stuck through it, shout out to you. Those of you listening for the first time, congratulations. You're about to get some great content. And, man, it's kind of nice to be back. It's a truth-based podcast. Real people, real topics, real funny. But today, we're definitely going to get into some truth and some real talk. It's Truth Paste. Brush up. All right. So, like I said, I came across this article on, I don't know where I found it. It might have been Bloomberg that I got it from, or maybe it was a link on Medium, but the article's called Psychology Benefits Society. This is where it's from. It's from the Psychology Benefits Society. And the article is called Depression in Black Boys Begins Earlier Than You Think. And this was put out in June of 2018. It's by Aaron Hunt, a graduate intern for the APA Health Disparities Office, and J.R. Robles, a graduate intern from SAMHSA Offices of Behavioral Health Equity. So, I'm not going to read the article. It's not a good use of my time, and I really don't want to be put on the spot like that, to be held accountable of reading aloud to hundreds of people. I could do it if it was like an actual crowd live. That probably wouldn't be as difficult as doing it on the airwaves, because I know I could mess it up and everyone could play it back over and over. But if I said it live and I messed up and you weren't sure, you're never going to hear it again. So I said it right. But I was reading this article, and it talked about Black boys between the ages of 5 and 11 were 2 to 3 times higher, more prone to the risk of suicide than white boys, which to me at that age of 5 and 11 is a bit shocking. You don't really think of kids at that age contemplating the thought of wanting to kill themselves. Sadly, though, if you look at the news, which I don't recommend, I recommend that you stay just informed enough to know what's going on, but not enough to be emotionally invested, then you would be able to see, you know, these sad stories of these elementary school kids killing themselves over stuff on social media or just dealing with bouts of depression, which for a lot of us is so sad. One, because, you know, we think about how we were at that age and the thought of wanting to do something like that, I would say for a lot of us probably wasn't a prevalent one. I'm sure there were definitely people and times, people going through certain struggles where it's difficult, but between the age of 5 and 11, at that age, for me personally, I was still trying to be a kid, you know, so to have those thoughts at those ages is heartbreaking. But then to think 2 to 3 times higher is, it's insane. And the piece gets into not necessarily the causes of what could lead to depression, with, you know, different racial and ethnic minority groups. It's more talking about the signs and the differences in the signs and what to spot between, well, not really between, but mostly ways to identify depression in young Black boys. And what I found shocking about this article is that most behavior that a lot of us would associate with depression, those behaviors aren't the ones that are displayed by young Black boys. When you think of depression, you probably think of hopelessness, sadness, a lack of energy or drive, kind of being defeated, you know, just like a gray cloud, which are all definite signs and behaviors and feelings associated with depression. But this article spoke to almost the opposite of that. It spoke to how a lot of the behavior, or at least the signs of depression for young Black boys, stems from acts of violence and anger and kind of impulsive behavior, which a lot of people would associate with, oh, you know, that's just, you know, no home training, as I'm sure a lot of us have, you know, probably heard before. Or sadly, you know, what some people would just associate with Black children. And this behavior, though it is, it's red hot as opposed to ice cold, being what we're used to with the signs of depression, it's difficult for a lot of people to associate that type of behavior with someone actually dealing with depression, especially these young Black boys, predominantly between the ages of 12 and 16. This article also spoke about how young Black boys and also Hispanic boys are looked at as adults or appearing older than they actually are, which isn't a positive, because it's not like you're given the opportunity to be looked at as a responsible human being. It's only when it pertains to the negative, where the behavior of a 6-year-old is looked at as the behavior of an 11-year-old, which is completely unfair. But then you take into account the behavior of this child and trying to get to the root of where that behavior is coming from. If you don't understand that these two different groups display different types of behavior to express different emotions, then you may be steering that child in the wrong direction. Now, everyone wants someone to blame, so whose fault is it? I don't know. Personally, I don't care. I'm just here to share the information because I thought it was compelling. But I also thought it was interesting because part of the reason why I took a break from making episodes of the podcast was because I was kind of dealing with something. I didn't know exactly what I was dealing with, but I was dealing with a lack of something. I was dealing with, like, at times a lack of motivation. And not that I didn't want to do things, it was more so a difficulty of sitting still and figuring out which one I wanted to do. And the thoughts racing of trying to make a decision on which one to do and really settle with one would often lead to me just taking small bits of time to try all these different things. But I wasn't really focusing on any of them to really produce any kind of content. And so that started to lead down a rabbit hole of a bunch of different things. And I found myself at a point where emotionally my behavior started to change and I started noticing it. God bless my friends and my family who noticed it way before me. And they would try to be polite and give me signs, but I didn't. Until you, I guess, can kind of see the difference, you're never going to realize that something has changed. And so as I, you know, kind of started to come, I guess, well, first trying to identify what was going on. I knew that there was times where I was very tired. There were times where I didn't really feel like doing a whole lot. But then there were also times where I was extremely motivated and driven and would run through things quickly and create all this great stuff and get all these things done. But then at the end of it, you know, I would have these moments where it's just like, well, it's not enough. You know, I can do more. What else can I do? So going through all these different things, you take the tools that you're given to kind of manage your emotions. Now, based on how you were raised, those are the tools that you were given. And for a lot of Black boys, dealing with, you know, kind of, you know, not being able to live up to your expectations or not being able to, you know, hit a goal when you wanted to, you know, rejection, let down, you know, kind of getting knocked down and picking yourself back up. These are all things that happen in life, but there's situations where, where, you know, a male figure isn't in the picture, so you don't learn those methods. But then there are other times where aggression is the way that you handle sadness. Aggression is the way that you handle rejection. And the outward behavior has dire consequences, when in reality that outward behavior is just trying to release some level of pain or frustration that's inside. So the tools that we're given aren't necessarily the best ones to deal with these emotions. And not too many of us understand that until it's too late. This article also spoke about how, especially in high school, not understanding this behavior is, you know, for a lot of Black boys, a pipeline to the prison system. That outward behavior, that inward behavior at the ages of 5 to 11, if not identified properly or checked within the right amount of time, when that child becomes 15 or 16, they're viewed as an adult more so than other race. So that behavior, the consequences of that behavior are much more grave. And we don't talk about this enough. One, because either we haven't been able to really identify it or we just don't like talking about it. But as someone on the other side of it, I definitely thought it was something important to talk about. So next time you're, you know, you've got a cousin, a sibling, partner, whatever it is, you know, when you see that kind of behavior, it's very easy to go straight into what it looks like on the surface. Take a closer look and think about, what are the tools that this person has been given to deal with whatever kinds of emotions? It might be more than you think. I'm guessing that all the guys that smuggle drugs into the United States get together in a room and they decide, all right, guys, so how are we going to do it this time? What's the flavor of this month? What are we doing? Submarines? Nah, we can't do that. It's that guy in that submarine over in, I think it was, the Philippines or something like that. He got caught. So nah, we're not doing submarines. What are we doing? Planes? We using planes? No. Been doing that a lot. It's not really been working too well. And somebody speaks up. What about food? I haven't done that in a while. You want to try food? As of late, I don't know why drugs keep getting found in our produce in the most ridiculous of ways. The first story was one that happened a little while ago about in San Diego, in Otay Mesa. Truck comes through there, guy driving a tractor trailer, got a bunch of jalapenos. Turns out, doesn't have just jalapenos. He's also got nearly 4 tons of marijuana. 4 tons of marijuana mixed in with these jalapenos. Now, I don't want you to think that, he's got these things wrapped up and bundled up, but he's got them inside just these cargo departments of jalapenos. It's ridiculous. Then, out here in the state of Washington, employees at a Safeway open up a box of bananas, find out, hey, it's a bunch of cocaine in these boxes. Who is putting cocaine in the Chiquita bananas in King County Safeway? I want to know. Who is dropping off 48 pounds of cocaine into the bananas at Safeway? To me, the story isn't funny, because I want to know the rest of it. Obviously, I don't want to know the rest of it, but I'm curious. So I want to know, either who at Safeway knew what was going on, or who and how was the pickup at Safeway supposed to happen? That's what I want to know. I want to know that part. 48 pounds of cocaine? Staff member had a quote. Oh no, I think it was the sheriff. Said it's not unusual to find a spider in a bunch of bananas, but not cocaine. Yeah. Yeah, buddy. All right. I'm waiting to find some meth with the avocados, some PCP with the tomatoes. I'm gonna have lean with the pineapples. Stop smuggling drugs. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you a story about heartbreak. That's why I got this music playing. I'm going to tell you a story about one of those times I got my hopes up. And boy was I let down. To this day. To this day, I'll never forget the day that I thought I was going to be stunting big time. And it just all went down the drain. Picture this. I'm 15 years old. Just getting into high school. I'm in San Diego. I'm with my dad. This time, my dad had a 1999 Jeep Grand Cherokee Eddie Bauer edition, which meant it had the butter tan leather on the inside with the green piping on the outside, or the green piping on the seats, the same color as the outside. But not only was it like that, but it was on 20-inch rims, and it had not one, not two, not three, but four TV screens in it. Six disc CD changer. And a hookup for a PlayStation. What? Oh my God. Dog, could you imagine being a freshman in high school pulling up in that? Fam, I had a TV screen in the visor. In the visor. I'd be 16 years old pulling up on him. In that? Ah, dog. But God knew better. God knew better than to give me that car. It would have been a problem if I had that car. Starting off like that? Oh, man. Oh. So you're probably wondering what happened to the car. That's the part I don't like talking about. So I remember having discussions with my dad about how we were going to get the car from San Diego to Seattle. And the difficulty was, one, he didn't want to do that drive. One, he wasn't really too, you know, fond of putting, he wasn't going to drive those rims all the way there. So then it was a matter of like having to carry the rims there. I didn't have my license at the time. I didn't even have my permit. But my dad is like, yeah, we can, you know, switch the tires and you and me will drive up there. You can drive. But I'm kind of like, what? I'm not driving. But I'm contemplating it because I'm like, yo, I need this car up there because I'm going to be killing them if I get it. So I'm over here like pushing the line like shit as it gets close, because we had a date that we were going to leave and do it. The options were either the both of us get it up there, or we look into putting it on a train and shipping it up to see what the cost would be for that. Ultimately, the cost of it, because it was kind of last minute, it was kind of high. So we thought about me. I'm like, you can send that thing in like 6 months. I'm not tripping. I'm still going to be killing it. But my dad, he wants me to have it for like the beginning of school, to come back with it and hit him with it. Because if he can't be there in person to see it, he's going to want me to tell the story of what it's like when I pull up on him in that. Because that's going to give him so much joy to hear that story. Because he's going to be able to, you know, to live a bit vicariously through me, through that story. But it's also going to make him proud to give his son that feeling. So I understood what he was doing. He was really pressing to get it done. But I'm kind of like, man, whenever it gets up here is when it gets up here. Just get that thing up here. Like, I'll do whatever I need to do. I'm going to take driver's ed. I'm going to get my license. Like, whatever I need to do to have that, I'm doing it. Like, I'll straighten up with my grades. Like, whatever I need to do, I need that whip. So we had a plan. The plan was, I'm going to drive it up. I'm going to switch the tires. He was going to ship the tires. We're going to drive it up. Cool. Me and him. Not 100% with it. I would have much rather it been put on a train, you know, just because driving with my dad for that long. If you've heard other episodes, you could understand why. But I'm just like, man, all right, cool, whatever. 7 days before we're supposed to leave to drive it up, get a call from my dad. I'm at my cousin's house. Get a call from my dad. Son, it's never good. It's never good when they hit you with that one. Son, something happened to your car. Because at this point, it's not his car anymore. I'm uncomfortable referring to it as mine. I can't even believe it. So he's referring to it as my car. So he's like, son, something happened to your car. I'm like, oh, no. In my head, I'm like, man, all right, it's probably something under the hood. Just got to get repaired. Like, cool, it's just going to be a couple more months. Like, I'm not tripping. Like, I'm all good with that. And he's like, back end is totaled.
Totaled? Oh.
What? What do you mean totaled? Got rear-ended. Oh. No. Rear-ended. And, you know, at this point, I don't know how insurance works, you know what I mean? So in my head, I'm not thinking like, okay, you got rear-ended, like, no problem, you know what I mean? Take it to the shop, boom, you know, they pay the deductible, you in and out, it's going to take a second, cool. In my head, I'm just like, oh, it's a wrap. It's over. Like, whatever the cost is, he's not paying for that. Like, because my dad would just move on to the next car. Like, he would go through cars all the time. So I'm just like, oh, man, it's over. And I'm thinking, like, what are we going to do with the TVs, the rims, and da 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 da. I start hearing more about the story. Dude's at a light. Or not at a light, he's at a four-way stop. Not my dad. This guy in a truck. Big truck, lifted. Guy's posted at the four-way, he's not going through. My dad honks at him. Guy puts his arm out. Gives my dad the finger. Yeah, it's not the move. That probably wasn't a good idea. But my dad had his girlfriend in the car, so he wasn't going to wild out this time. So he just, you know, whips around the guy, mashes off in front of him, moves on to the next spot. The guy in the truck, guess he didn't like that. So he pulls up fast behind my dad. Pulls up behind him. My dad stays at the light. Dude's honking. Honking. Dude, he's got like the little bumpers those bumpers on his bumpers. What the hell am I even talking about? Whatever the police have on the front end of their cars, off of their bumpers, that metal piece, this guy had that on his truck. So he decides to tap my dad's rear end. But he's got a big truck. That tap turned into a hit. Police come. Everything would have been good if the tabs were not expired on the Jeep. Yeah, tabs were expired on the Jeep. I didn't know how to feel. I was hurt. I was upset. I was confused. I was angry. Man. And then after that, still took driver's ed. And then the same day I passed driver's ed, I crashed a car, which led to me not being able to get my license until I was 18. Yeah. It's funny how things happen. I sometimes wonder what life would have been like for me if I would have had that car at 16. Fuck.